Music Mothers and Others comes to you from our bedrooms, lounge rooms, and homes during coronavirus times. We do all of our recordings via the internet, so please excuse the pops and crackles in this episode.
Music.
Mothers.
And others.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs and rock and roll and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music, a chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we'll talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Hosts are Liz, hello. And Shelley.
Hi.
And we are industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village.
Today, our guest on Music Mothers and Others is a member of one of the A-list kids music bands out there in Australia. I'm smiling already. She's their only female member. It's Coco from Regurgitator's Pogo Go Show. Now, this band has been red hot, really, since their 2019 release of their ARIA-nominated, the really, 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 really boring album. And My Little Person at Home and I have seen many of their incredible live performances too, which we love, especially Coco's rainbow sequin costumes. Welcome, Coco, to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Regurgitator are, of course, a well-known all-male crazy Brisbane pop-punk group that was super popular in the 90s. Can you tell us about how you, as a woman here in Melbourne, joined them to make the Pogo Go Show project?
Well, I actually met them in Perth because I'm from Perth originally. I moved to Melbourne.
You're a Perthanality.
Oh, that word. Yes, yes, personality. So I've only been in Melbourne for, I think, 4 years now. But back in Perth, I was in this like crazy super pop band called Boys, Boys, Boys. And we actually toured Australia with Gurge a couple of times, doing shows and stuff. So that's how I met the boys.
So is there any history for you of doing children's music or performances?
Not at all. But Boys, Boys, Boys was quite, like, at one point, I kind of did want to turn it into a kids thing because we were just like crazy, you know, like we did like synchronized dances. There's like three girls doing synchronized pop dances up the front and like we were just super colorful and silly. Like we almost could have been a kid band and I was always kind of like keen for that. Like I actually started writing kids songs a little bit myself and trying to convince my bandmates, but they were like, nah. But, you know, I kept writing songs a little bit on the side.
You were touring with them around Australia, you got to know the guys, and what did they just say to you? Hey, look, we have kids, and we're just thinking about doing this. Do you want to join?
Yeah, well, it was kind of just after I moved to Melbourne, maybe like a year after I moved here. And yeah, literally Ben just called me one day and was like, hey, we're at Quan's house in the studio, kind of writing some kids songs. Do you want to come along and just like hang out and like sing on them? I was like, of course I do. That sounds like the funnest day ever. For sure, yeah. Benny. So I just went to Kwan's house and hopped in the studio and they were playing me Mr. Butt. And I was just like, what is this?
What is Mr. Butt?
I was like, this is crazy. I have to be part of it. So, and then, yeah, it just sort of clicked and fell into place from there.
Pull your pants up, Mr. Butt. Cause we can see your butt. We can see
your butt. We can see your butt. We can see your butt. Whoa!
And then from memory, the first show was here in Melbourne at the, was it the Recital Centre or something like that? Yeah. Which my fam went along to because we were like, we've heard Regurgitator are doing some kind of punk show. Let's go down to this rather kind of posh, formal, seated setting.
Right.
But, I mean, the Wiggles have played there before too, mind you. It's just that sort of mid-sized stage thing. And see what this is all about. And I always remember seeing you there because it was sort of a bit unexpected because I was like, maybe this, I don't know what, maybe it's a Regurgitator punk show. Yeah. But then I was really happy to see you on stage as well, just bringing a different element to it. Like, did you talk about how, when you were joining the project, how you would become involved and what you would actually do?
Not at all. I have to be honest with you, that first show, we were winging it. We did not know what we were doing. We had no idea if it was even going to work, if it was going to flop. We were just like, let's just go out there, have fun, see what happens. But they definitely did say to me when I came in that they wanted like more of a female presence as well. Like, they really felt they needed a girl just to kind of break it up a bit and, like you say, give it a bit of diversity as well. I was just a very I love unicorns person, so they're like, you
yeah, you can do
and
it.
You're writing with them too, aren't you, Coco? Is that right?
Yeah, well, Ben and Kwan wrote a lot of the songs already when I had come in. And then we literally went to a studio in somewhere around here and just like spent a whole day just like finishing it off stuff and like writing a whole bunch of new songs as well. Like, I had written a song, Best Friends Forever, and I brought it to them. And they're like, oh yeah, cool, sick. So jammed it out in like 5 minutes. and then we recorded the whole album in one day just at this studio.
Well, I remember the first show very well in the sort of the sequence of it all, because it all sort of played out on the album itself.
Yeah.
You know, how things just kind of unfold, and there's a bit of, well, there, you know, this with this story time that you have, or there's just sort of a bit of chatting about things and, you know, ghost cats and all kinds of crazy things. But it feels just like a sequential, you know, songs interspersed with little talky bits as well. And it feels like a stage show too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that was more of Ben's idea. He just wanted it to be like a story the whole way through kind of thing, and just sort of, yeah, link it together. And but like all the talking in between was just all made up on the spot. Like, yeah, totally made up.
That's a real tribute to you, though, too, to be able to come into a band of people that have already got their own language, for want of a better description, you know, and to be able to get in there and integrate, and but also to add something new. Is it too daggy if I say you should be super proud of that?
Really,
but
nice.
I'd be super proud of that.
I've never even, like, thought of that. That's really lovely. Thank you. But, yeah, the boys, they're, like, the nicest dudes on earth. Like, literally, after touring with them, I just became such good friends, and I was just like, these guys rule. I love you. So it just kind of, yeah, worked out.
You mentioned that when you were with Boys, Boys, Boys. Oh, by the way, can we find Boys, Boys, Boys somewhere? Can we give it a plug?
For sure. Yeah? We're on, okay, like, all awesome. The things, Spotify, iTunes, yeah.
Okay, so you'd mentioned that you'd kind of had designs about kids' stuff before that. How did you encounter music when you were a little kid? Were you TV? Was it radio? Was it records? Ooh. Wiggles? What was it for you?
I'm a bit older than that, I think. I don't know. I grew up in New Zealand. I was in New Zealand until I was about 4 years old. And to be honest, my encounter of music as a child was probably a bit different to other kids. My mum was a bit of a punk, and they would always have like crazy parties at our house when I was a kid, and she would always put on Pink Floyd to make me go to sleep every night. Somehow, whenever she put it on, I would just like pass out. And to this day, if I still put on Pink Floyd, I like get sleepy. It's funny. But she loved like Billy Idol and Prince and stuff, so I grew up listening to that sort of stuff. But then there was this kids tape that I had. I had one kids music thing. It was called the Raffy kids tape. And it was just like this mixtape of all these weird, awesome kids songs. It's probably from like the 70s or something. I don't know. But it was really cool.
Did you say Raffy?
Raffy, yeah. I think used to be like a Hot Ticket as far as kids music. But yeah, it was really cool. But that was the only kids music I actually listened to, I think.
Wow. And Pink Floyd, would she just put on an album and let it go, or was it a best of? Do you remember?
Yeah, what was Dark Side of the Moon, which had that weird like story throughout it as well, with the creepy like planes in the sky, mummy, and it used to kind of creep me out, but also give me like weird dreams, and I kind of loved it.
Amazing!
That is amazing.
And then you get to the big gig in the sky at the end with the screaming and hopefully you're asleep
somehow
by then.
Somehow I slept through it.
You're listening to 2SERFM.
I'm going to ask you, because you said you grew up in New Zealand, and I have to ask you, because I lived in New Zealand for a long time as well. Which city are you from?
I was born in Rotorua, but my family moved around to, like, probably six different towns when I was a little kid. We lived in a caravan for, like, a year or something, apparently.
Wow. North Island.
Yeah, North Island. Yeah, where did you go?
Yeah. Well, I worked at a university in Dunedin for 5 years, but then I also worked at a different uni in Wellington for maybe about two or three. Yeah. And then I did some stuff in Auckland as well, University of Auckland. So, and get my New Zealand citizenship as well while I was there. So I feel like I'm a bit,
nice.
You know,
yeah.
Bit of a Kiwi officially anyway.
Yay!
It's true. That's super interesting about your connections with music as a kid. Do you think that you've thought about your, you know, positioning as a child and what music you were listening to and brought that into the Pogo Go show, or is it just quite separate things?
I think I don't know. I think the thing I bring into Pogo Go, I'm like mega pop queen. Like, I love my pop music. Like, Britney Spears is like, and Spice Girls. I actually flew to England last year to go see the Spice Girls live. I was like, I'm not missing this. Best night of my life.
Amazing.
Well, 3 nights. I went 3 times.
Good woman.
Lame.
Good woman.
But yeah, so I love like mega pop, and I love like Kiss. I just love pop as a big glittery sparkly show. Like, that is just, it just explodes my brain. So I think that's kind of more what I bring to Pogo Go. I love, like, you know, sparkly things and colorful things, you know, the whole planet rainbow thing. That's just more of a pop vibe, I think.
It's also kind of glam too, isn't it? Like, if you go in Kiss and all of that type of stuff, that, because that's so interesting, isn't it? Like, one of the things we struggle with for the book, but also just for ourselves, is how much of, well, is there such a thing as kids' music anyway? Like, the minute somebody plays you Dark Side of the Moon as a kid, then it becomes
exactly.
yours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you know, so you're kind of doing that too. If you're, you know, if you're bringing a bit of Kiss, you're bringing a bit of Britney or a bit of the Spice Girls in to those little people, they're not people.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? So you're kind of giving them all of that stuff. It's pretty full on.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be just kids' music. They can just love anything, you know?
That's
sure.
right. I agree with that. And I'm glad you have that passion for the Spice Girls in particular, or even just like girl pop. Mm. Because one of the noticeable things, I guess, about Pogo Go Show is that you are the only woman in the band, and a band of like Regurgitator being three men who during their solo reign as that band in the 90s in particular, you know, they're a pretty boy band, like not in a boy pop band, but they're a punk crazy out there, just all genre kind of electronica band and rock band too. And you bring something different. And visually, you are the girl in the band.
Yeah.
So do you think about those little girls that are out there, like my little girl, who are watching you on stage or listening to that album at home? Do you think about yourself as being a role model for those little girl fans?
I mean, I haven't, but that is a good point. I do. I am conscious of the fact that I am the girl in the band, and I do obviously like to represent for girls, you know, to show them that you can do it too, and you can be in like this, you know, like Gurge's fans, a lot of them are like really blokey dudes, and whereas that's fine, it's cool to be the girl in the band so that little girls have someone to maybe look to as an example and be like, oh, I could do that too, you know? Girl power. I'm all about girl power.
1, 2, 3, 4. I wanna be best friends forever. We can have fun times together. I'm gonna jump, you're gonna scream, if you know what I mean. And be best friends forever. I wanna swim in jelly. I wanna be a superstar. I wanna eat peanut butter toast. I wanna pet a dinosaur. I wanna rainbow vegan tie.
Most of all, be in the heart.
I wonder too what it's like for the little boys that are watching as well, you know, because, you know, Pogo Go has repurposed some of the greatest hits, the Suck the Lollipop, for example, you know.
Yes.
Which there was, for us, there was a curiosity. I missed coming to see you guys. We had we had plane tickets and everything, but we were coming down to Melbourne and then I happened to be pregnant with this little one, so I couldn't move. But, you know, there's that curiosity about the blokiness of them and how it's going to come out. Mm. Although it's weird because they were never kind of alpha dudes. Like even something like Polyester Girl, mm-hmm. you know, it's objectification that's not, you know, it's kind of part of that pop
yeah,
world.
Yeah, the funny thing, and like, I guess they're not blokey dudes though, you know. They're like the most sort of forward thinking, just, yeah, they're not like that at all. It's like they're fans that are like that, which is quite funny, you know. It's like they have all these blokey fans, but they're the most non-blokey dudes ever. It's strange.
Yeah. It's super. I guess that's the thing too. Maybe that's the industry that does that, isn't it? Like we see dudes and we hear a certain, you know, early stuff like, you know, Two Playing and all of that, I guess, sounded so heavy. So maybe people thought that's who belongs there. You know what I mean? So, yeah. True, yeah. True. Are you, in terms of the village, that's the other thing we're kind of interested in, you know, Music Mothers and Others isn't just. Yeah, it's not just people who've got kids of their own, but people that, you know, are aunties or cool friends or, you know, and I imagine that's probably, you've ended up doing that as well for, you know, Regurgitator's kids, is being the auntie on the side if they bring, you know, if they bring kids along.
I've seen Kwon San on stage at the Lost Land Festival dressed up in like a little Mr. Butt or a box kind of robot, and that was incredible. And, yeah, you're right, you're spot on with that, Liz.
Yeah. So how do you fit in the village? Are you, I don't know, are you a parent yourself or do you a great auntie? Are you an awesome friend? Where do you live?
I don't know. I don't have much of a place in the village apart from in Pogo Go. Like I'm not a mother. I probably won't be, I don't think. But I'm an auntie. I do have a little niece, Matilda, who's adorable, but she lives in Sydney. So I don't really see her. I've only seen her like probably two or three times in her life so far. So not much of a place, but I do enjoy, like, I do the crafts with Coco sessions, and for me that's my way to engage with the kids and like really sort of get feedback from them and just enjoy time with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. How do you, I'm always, because I was the auntie for a long time too. I'm kind of late in life having kids and I wasn't sure that I was ever going to. And the role of the auntie is so important. Number one, because you've slept, you have disposable income and you've got a bit of perspective, you know what I mean? So I always think, and I've got a great auntie, my daughter is named after our auntie like that too, who doesn't have kids herself, and is just, I remember her being that little oasis for us, that grown up that, again, had a bit of space, had a bit of perspective, but you know what I mean, still would really engage with us. So can you tell us a bit more about that process of engaging and with the crafts and stuff? Like, how do you come at it? Are you thinking, I have to do things in a certain way? Or are you just like, these are just my little dudes, these are just my little people, and I'll talk to them like little people? What do you do?
Yeah, once again, winging it. I literally, like, I sort of started, I think it was back in March, and I was just like, because we had a whole year worth of shows around Australia booked, and we were so devastated that it just all got cancelled. Like, we were meant to go to Perth in like a week's time and it just got canned, and I was just like, no. And so I just felt really bad that all these people who'd bought tickets, you know, or were going to come see us, couldn't see us. So I thought, you know, how can I connect with them over Instagram or something just to sort of keep them involved and do something fun, because everyone was bored at this point as well. So, yeah, I just thought, let's do craft stuff. And I just literally turned on my Instagram live and was like, hi, what's up? Let's do some fun stuff. So, yeah, just winging it, really. I don't know. I just want to do fun things. And one mother messaged me saying, thank God for crafts. She gets out of my hair for like half an hour once a week and I love it. Thank you so much. I was like, cool. That's a purpose. I'm happy with that. If I can do that for you, sick.
That's also the best thing an auntie can do.
Yeah, babysit.
The auntie is the ally. Yes.
Hi, this is Coco from the Pogo Go Show, and you're listening to Music, Mothers and Others.
Now, Liz and I are interested in how the Australian music industry can change a bit so that parents or kids or aunties bringing kids along, or, you know, a babysitter or a nanny or something bringing kids along to shows, how can the Australian music industry change a bit so it's more parent friendly or kid friendly or something like that? Because I know, I mean, you obviously do these incredibly large shows with huge audience numbers. I was at the Corner Show, the one that Liz couldn't come to.
Awesome.
it was just like sold out. And I've been to the Corner in Melbourne many times for grown-up bands. Mm-hmm. But just seeing like the sea of parents and children going bonkers at a venue, like a famous Melbourne, you know, rock venue, I suppose we can call it. What sort of changes do you think the industry might make, or performance side of things of show, to make it a bit more friendly?
Look, I don't really know. I think, like, do you mean like have more like maybe mums and bub sessions of regular bands? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, could be. Or maybe you guys are like, maybe venues need to be different, or the venues are spot on, or I can see that, you know, these kids are super tired. We're not going to have an 11 p.m. show. We're going to have a matinee show or something like
matinee
that.
Matinee shows. I mean, that's a thing. It's not very rock and roll, but it's a thing, you know. Yeah, I really don't know. Like, doing that Corner Hotel show did kind of, you know, it was kind of an example of a rock show, basically. And being at the Corner, it was not like being at a kids show. It was just like something different, you know. I mean, maybe that's a thing that they could do more. It's like at rock venues, have sessions that are earlier that, you know, parents can bring their kids to, as long as they got massive headphones, of course. You know, because late night gigs are definitely not really the place for children. You know, it's not ideal anyway. So, yeah, maybe just more kid-friendly times of shows. Yeah. But I don't know.
Do you find that Quan, Ben and Pete, some might say, oh, look, we couldn't do a show that starts at 11 o'clock at night, you know, because we've got to go home, or we're going to be tired, or the kid's going to wake me up or anything. Do you find that the guys talk at all about their parenting roles?
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, they still tour as Gurge, and they still sell out shows that start at 11 o'clock at night. And I know for a fact that they get pretty tired after these shows now. You know, they kind of, that was one of the first things they liked about doing the kids shows, is that we'd start at like 11 in the morning and you'd be done by midday. And then it was like, oh, I can go relax and not have to go back to hotel and travel and sleep for 2 hours and then go again. They kind of liked the earlier format, definitely, as parents as well. Cassius even came, Quan's boy Cassius, came on tour with us in Sydney earlier in the year. And I think, you know, that was quite hard as well, having a kid along as well. And but being that it was early gigs, it kind of didn't really matter, you know?
I wonder that too. I mean, because while we've got an industry that, I know in Sydney at least, we had real issues with all ages. Like, we don't have even enough of an all-ages circuit for teenagers. You know what I mean? Like, when we were teenagers, there were places you could go. There were things. If nothing else, it was a festival. Now there's kind of nothing. And I wonder if it's about, from early age, making the industry friendly and welcoming, you know, and if it's stuff like doing it at 11 o'clock in the day, or if it's stuff like doing it in a venue so people go, I've been there before, you know what I mean? Do you see any of that? Like, do you see yourself as on-roading the next generation of music fans in, you know, like beyond Pogo, for boys, when they, are you still together? Would you do more stuff? What would you do?
We're technically still together, but I don't live in, they all live in Perth, so I left them all behind. I broke up the band, sort of. Well, like, we're still together, and if I ever go back to Perth, we'd like to do a show or something. But I'm also in like another music thing here as well, which is like more of a dark wave pop thing. Yes, okay. It's a duo. So I do play late night gigs too sometimes when we can, out of COVID. But yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky one. I mean, the all ages stuff, I remember going to that as a teenager and loving it, but it does seem to be a little less these days, which I don't know if it's insurance reasons or I don't know.
Can we give your other band a plug too when we go? Are you happy to plug all of the things?
It doesn't really fit in with Pogo Go. It's pretty...
That's all right.
Dark Wave, come on.
No, like that's Crystal all right. Castle but, I don't know.
But that's all right too, because that's when we weren't sure. Is it like, do you like to keep those... I mean, are you a Clark Kent Superman?
A little bit, yeah. You know? I think I like to keep that a little bit separate because I don't want to freak any parents out for a start. Not that it's crazy music or anything, but it's just not in like on brand, I guess. I don't know.
No, that's fair enough. And look, I mean, who knows? Gene Simmons might, you know, be in a beautiful string quartet and we'd never know because he's in the makeup. We wouldn't recognise him.
I love it.
Who is your favourite in the Pogo Go show?
Coco.
Why do you love Coco?
I just love Coco.
So if I was to say you, what is your favourite thing about Coco, what's your answer?
Her hat. Her pom-poms and her hair.
Oh.
Is there any videos about Coco?
Yeah, there's plenty of videos about Coco. Do you want to see some?
Yeah, I want to watch some.
we have a little segment to end called The Kids and I Are Listening To, which started off, it was just basically what we were listening to with our kids around. But do you have something that you're listening to when you're doing your crafts or when you're doing something that's addressing kids or being, you know, with kids or, you know, is there something that you, well, it can be kids stuff or it can be a bit of a musical education yourself, you know, are you getting Dark Side of the Moon all lined up for Matilda? What's happening?
Matilda loves Pogo Go as well, which is cool. Good little niece.
Excellent.
So, no, yeah, basically just Pogo Go stuff when I'm doing crafts. I don't think I'm allowed to play any other music. I think you get in trouble on Instagram if you don't have copyright or whatever. So just Pogo Go. Quan did tell me the other day, though, that his little son Cassius is listening to this crazy song called The Muffin Song. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
It's like this crazy...
Must be a YouTube song.
Yeah, I think it's a YouTube thing, and it's like a weird techno song about muffins, and it's like, it's muffin time! Die, die, die! It's muffin time! And it sounds... nuts. But I listened to that the other day because Kwan sent it to me. I was like, this is awesome. We need to write a techno kids banger immediately. So other than Pogo Go, not really, no. I did get my boss's daughter into Spice Girls this year, though, which was cool. But excellent. Now he's like, I've heard Wannabe like a million times. Thanks so much. I'm like, sorry.
That's good. That is your job. You are, look, you're the musical auntie to all. That's what we need. That's
I
what
love
we need.
That. Can yes. I ask you, what are you guys, what is Pogo Go doing during this coronavirus lockdown where you can't play any shows? Are you writing new songs? Are you planning for the reopening of venues?
I mean, yeah, we still actually technically have shows booked for in 2021 because all the gigs that we had this year got moved to next year instead, like all the festivals and stuff. So hopefully, yeah, next year, if everything goes smoothly in Australia, we'll be playing some more shows. We started writing some more songs before lockdown. I went to Kwan's house a couple of times and we wrote 2 songs, which are pretty cute. But yeah, the boys have been pretty chilling this time. I think they're just enjoying the downtime with their families and, you know, Kwan's still busy working on his animation stuff. And yeah, so not a lot going on technically, but hopefully next year it'll be all back up and running.
Such thing as a ghost cat.
Oh, come on, I wouldn't lie.
But there's no such thing as any of these kind of mythical creatures.
Oh, really? What's behind you right now? Look.
Huh?
I can't see it.
But there's nothing there.
Oh, you missed it. Wait. Now, look, just there.
Huh?
Meow.
Oh.
Meow.
What? What is that?
I see it too.
I can't believe it. It's there. Right before my eyes!
Meow.
There's a ghost cat! There is a ghost cat!
Ghost cat, ghost cat!
There is a ghost cat!
Ghost cat, ghost cat!
There is a ghost cat!
Ghost cat, ghost cat!
There is a ghost cat!
Ghost cat, ghost cat, ghost cat, ghost cat, ghost cat, ghost cat, ghost cat!
Shoo! Get out of here, you pesky ghost cat!
That's it for Music Mothers and Others. Thanks so much to Coco from the Pogo Go Show for being our guest this week. Music Mothers and Others is a show written and produced by Liz Dufray and Shelley Brunt. We're broadcast on Sydney's 2SER on 107.3 FM, and we are also a podcast. Find our episodes on all your usual services, such as Apple and Spotify, or our website, musicmothersandothers.com. We'd love you to leave a review. It would make it easier for other people to find us. Feel like getting in touch? Want to know who our next guests are? Visit us on Facebook and Instagram and leave us a message. See you next time.